It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I'm sure it's just a coincidence that you're playing something from The Cure as we're trying to cure what ails college football.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Thank you, Marvin. Thank you. We were just reminiscing about the Big East. Remember? Obviously you do if you're a sports fan. Big East, best basketball conference ever. And then what dismantled the Big East? All of these schools, well, Connecticut, you know, you want to get that football money. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at, you know, Georgetown doesn't play football and Villanova doesn't play football. You had these Big East schools, St. John's doesn't play football. You had the perfect model for, hey, this is a basketball conference. You want to play other sports in other conferences? Go get them. And then I saw Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. He wrote about, how about football conference? Can we do that? Because other schools, you know, Notre Dame will play independent, but they're going to play basketball in the ACC, but they may play a couple of ACC schools. Like, why do we have to do this? We thought we'd bring in Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports columnist, New York Times best-selling author. Okay. How do we go about this? That it seems logical that you have a football conference and then maybe you have basketball conferences. Why can't we do this?
Okay. Well, the first thing you got to remember about college athletics, no one is in charge. There is no one driving this boat. There's no Roger Goodell. There's no Adam Silver. There is an NCAA president, but that's just a figurehead. There are a whole bunch of fiefdoms. So even a good idea that literally everyone agrees would make sense. No one thinks Rutgers should be playing Oregon in volleyball. Nobody thinks that. Yet, here we are. You mentioned the Big East. A very interesting example of this. University of Connecticut. Four national titles while they're in the Big East. Then they go play in the AAC because of football. They're trying to find a home for football. They're still playing good basketball teams, Houston, Memphis, things like that. But they're no longer in the Big East, and they lose touch with the recruits in their area, New York and all that. Yeah. They give up the AAC, return back for basketball in the Big East. Who's your national champion? Connecticut. It just makes sense sometimes for certain leagues, let alone all of your Olympic sports. There's no hockey does this, right? Hockey East has teams from the ACC, the Big East, the Atlantic 10. They have FCS, like 1AA teams. They have Division II teams. It's okay. It works because it's just a hockey league. Nobody really is paying attention. Yeah. But for all these other ones, we just can't do it because no one can go, guys, what are we doing here?
Let me give you total autonomy. Where do you start?
For this problem?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot on the checklist.
let me just do yeah, let's okay. Just stay with football, realignment, just football schools.
Yeah, I would actually probably create some kind of like regional. There's actually one out west called the Mountain Pack that handles sort of these excess sports that not everyone does, beach volleyball, water polo. I would probably create some like regional six or seven regional kind of umbrellas that handle those areas. So let's take the state of Texas, right? You pretty much just need Texas college athletics. And then if in football or basketball, you want to travel all over, knock yourself out. But if you're talking about playing a men's soccer game, there's no need for Baylor to put their men's soccer team on a plane to go play Central Florida, and Texas, which is 90 minutes away, to put their men's soccer team on a plane and fly to Florida to play them. They could be on the same plane when you could just have a little bus. So I would probably regionalize Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, you know, Deep South, whatever you do, and break it up that way, and then have your football and your men's basketball leagues that work in conjunction to that.
The ACC reaching out apparently to Stanford and Cal.
Yeah.
Is that real?
Nothing says Atlantic Coast, Dan, like the fog coming in off the San Francisco Bay. It's real because why not? If you're – and so there's an example of maybe you just add football, but Stanford and Cal need something for their Olympic programs because those teams are top of the class, national championship caliber, and they need competition. The closest they can get is the ACC. It's real. I don't know if it happens. You somehow have to come up with a cost ability to send people. But Stanford and Cal are in a world of trouble trying to find equal talent for their soccer, their volleyball, their swimming programs that are as good as any in the country. The concept of putting someone flying 3,000 miles for every single road game is lunacy. I mean, look, if you're going to one of those schools, Cal or Stanford, you are almost by definition academically minded. The last thing you want to be when you're at Stanford is not at Stanford, missing the classes, being exhausted flying back because you had a volleyball game at Virginia Tech last night. Those things would just seem, I mean, this is not college athletics in any form.
Why wouldn't Stanford just go independent?
They can, but it'd be pretty much the similar thing. Their problem is they'll get almost no football television revenue. It works for Notre Dame because NBC is willing to pay them.
Yeah.
And then they got an NBC deal coming in 2 years that'll probably be more. They can fund their athletic department off of football. Stanford's not going to – people aren't going to pay for Stanford home games the way they pay for Notre Dame home games.
We're talking to Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports columnist. Trying to figure out, it feels like if there's another domino or two, it's with Florida State and Clemson. And I was told, you know, the SEC may just block this so the Big Ten doesn't get into their footprint there with Florida State and Clemson. I don't know what happens with the ACC. I don't, you know, there's contracts, but we've seen those contracts broken. It feels like Florida State is adamant that they're out of there. The question is, when? And then what's the SEC do or what's the Big Ten do? Feels like those are the only two players here. What do you think happens with these schools?
There's definitely one more round here, the other being Notre Dame. Does Notre Dame ever have to join? And the SEC and Big Ten will wage, no pun intended, a holy war trying to get Notre Dame, to convince Notre Dame they should join their league and the other. Clemson, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina is very appealing to these leagues. Virginia, here's the thing. I just announced six schools that are all very appealing. They all play football against each other. There should be room for a third league. You know, you still have Duke and Carolina basketball. I mean, imagine a world where we know football destroys the Carolina-Duke basketball rivalry. Now, they could still play twice a year and stuff, but some of this stuff just doesn't, you know, it's hard to deal with. Right now, the ACC is stuck with each other, and Florida State is raising a lot of noise, and they're saying, we're going to get out. If they could get out, they'd be out. They don't have a way out. They're not bluffing, but this deal runs through 2036, and it is so even, you know, over the next few years, and I know this is hopelessly naive, and you can have me back on to heckle me in like 2 minutes when we've announced Clemson and Florida State have left, but it seems like they're stuck. And so that's where you're at. I will say this. The SEC is quite happy with where they're at. They're adding Texas and Oklahoma. They have 16 teams. They win all the championships. They have an enormous amount of money coming in. Their league still makes sense. It's still a Southern-based, big state school league, pretty much. It's the Big Ten that's just all over the map. And the Big Ten is like a house that keeps adding on additions but bringing in different architects. So they brought in Rutgers and Maryland. They're on the East Coast for basic cable homes 10 years ago. Now they're out West with four teams. They brought Nebraska in to be a national power and win, help push Ohio State and Michigan. They've had seven straight losing seasons. The Big Ten one is all over the map. The SEC is very purposeful. It's basically worked. It's going fine. And they're kind of looking back, laughing and going, when we want somebody, we're going to go get them. But you are right. At some point, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina is, again, very, very appealing to the size of the market, the academics, and then Notre Dame. That's going to be the next wave. They just released a poll yesterday, preseason poll. 11 of the 15, top 15, are in either the SEC or the new SEC or the new Big Ten starting next year. And then there's Notre Dame, and then there's three others. So the two super conferences are either here or essentially here.
Plus, wait till March Madness when these conferences dominate, you know, the number of schools that get into March Madness.
That they will dominate some, but like the Big 12 and the Big East and Gonzaga, basketball is a different thing. And that's why, because you can say, look, Minnesota has, $70 million in revenue coming in every year, but Connecticut's 2 hours from New York City. So there's other things that make this work. The Big 12 will be the best basketball conference. Not only they have Baylor and Kansas and Iowa State, they just added Arizona. Yeah. And all these things. So basketball is its own thing. Hockey, that's just why I'm saying hockey's its own thing. Let football be its own thing. Let baseball be its own thing. Let you know, women's field hockey be. There's no sense, and we've seen this with Boston College. It's never made any sense that Boston College sends their tennis team to play Florida State when they could get on a bus and ride down to Providence College and have a nice match on Tuesday afternoon. Everyone gets back to campus.
But that would make sense, Dan, and college sports does not make sense.
No one is in charge.
It makes money.
You should be in charge. Yeah. You should be in charge.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to do when I retire. Great to talk to you, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Always fun. Thanks,
Dan. That's Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports national columnist. He's always got some ideas here on how to make things better. It's just, I don't know if there's any real think tank that they get together and they go, okay, what would actually be would be better for college athletics? Not my school individually, but, you know, the totality of college athletics. And get these, you know, commissioners or presidents or chancellors, and they actually talk and they go, okay, how do we solve this? How do we do something that doesn't mean we're trying to squeeze out the very last dollar? And it'll never happen because it's about survival of the fittest. I mean, Cal and Stanford aren't a package deal. I don't know what's going to happen to Washington State or Oregon State. I mean, nobody's looking out for them because everybody's looking out for the big names. Who's going to provide revenue here? Yeah, Steve.
Isn't it more survival of the fattest?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
I see what you're saying. You'd love for one person to come out and be like that. There were some stories
It could be a think tank.
You would have to pass on money, which means you're going to be out of a job. Like, let's say hypothetically, I saw a story last week that on Friday, the athletic director or the president, I think it was the president of Arizona State University, wanted to stay true to the Pac-12. If he would have done that, he'd be out in the cold right now. He'd be sitting there all by himself, out in the cold in whatever's left of the Pac-12, and he'd have been probably praised for it. But he probably would have been replaced once the Board of Regents or something said, this guy passed on how much money for a university?
Yeah, but, I mean, college athletics is just cannibalizing itself. I mean, right in front of us, they're doing it. These are grown men, educated men, and they're all falling all over themselves, embarrassing themselves. And what the Pac-12 did is criminal. Okay, you got the Big 12. Make it, you're going to be basketball or the ACC's basketball. But what Dan brings up is, why not just regionalize the other sports? The football team travels once a week. They may have 7 or 8 road games, right? Basketball team, you're going to be, you know, on the road a lot more. But the other sports don't need to be traveling all over. You want competition. You want to be able to go to Cal or Stanford or USC or UCLA so your family can see you play, not, hey, I'm going to Piscataway. Yeah, not going to make that trip. Yeah, Seton.
I love that the solution to this problem is creating regionalized conferences.
Yeah, which
like
we
a
have.
Southeastern Conference, like exactly the way it used to be. That's the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I got the preseason rankings in case you're curious. Georgia got 61 votes, the coaches poll. They got 61 out of 66 votes. Then it's Michigan. Alabama got 4 votes. Ohio State got 1. LSU, USC, Penn State, Florida State, Clemson, Tennessee, Washington, Texas, Notre Dame, Utah, and then Oregon. And you still have the Pac-12 playing as the Pac-12 this year. It's just bizarre. Just is. You know, Oklahoma and Texas playing in the Big 12 before they go to the SEC. It's just wild. Wild. Oh, yeah, Seton.
It is odd when you think about all of the individual sports that make up college athletics. And if you just, I know that this isn't exactly the same thing, but could you imagine if, like, the Yankees, Mets, Nets, Knicks, Giants, Jets, NYCFC, Red Bull, Islanders, Rangers, Devils, all had to operate under the same structure or all had to figure out, well, we can only play the same cities or something. I mean, we have individual leagues. It totally works.
You'd have your football team and your baseball team and your basketball team, your soccer team, but they're going to be all traveling in the same area or the same conference, or now right. You're going to play all your games out west. Your road games are all out west.
Just keeping those schedules compact into a region is fiscally the only way to really help save a lot of these sports.
And I don't think anybody would have a problem with these other sports who are going to be regional as far as their opponents. It just makes sense. And, you know, we're looking at cost-cutting measures, but we're also looking to cash in. You can't have both. There's going to be sports that are going to get cut. And I know somebody's not going to, you know, call me a bleeding heart because, volleyball is going to get cut or crew is going to get cut. Well, you know, those are important programs, and those are your student-athletes, the true student-athlete there. But this is college football, and the NCAA has not been heard from, not a peep, because it's basically a toll booth where you don't even pay the toll. You just go through it. Like, you know, hey, there's a camera here. We're going to catch you. Yeah, see you later. Unless you leave money. Now, that's what's going on with the NCAA. It's like, what's going on here? The Pac-12's dead. Really? When did that happen? Yes, Steve.
And it feels like all of those sports are like, it's okay to lose those because now Georgia's not going to open the season with Crappensburg State anymore. And it's like, yeah, worth it. Totally worth it.
Good squad, Crappensburg.
Yeah.
Almost won one double A.
Yeah. Crappensburg.
Used to be University of Crappensburg. Now it's Crappensburg
State University of Crappensburg. That's a fierce interstate rivalry.
CSU.
That's going to go away now.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Booger McFarland, two-time Super Bowl champ, works for the Mothership covering the NFL and college football. Give me the storyline that you're interested in with Hard Knocks and the Jets debuting tonight.
Just to see how much they're going to show us, DP. I think we're all fascinated with the fact that Aaron Rodgers is in New York, the expectations, the defense, that they could just get some offense. Now he comes in. I think Aaron Rodgers is one of the people in the National Football League that's very intriguing because he thinks differently than most people do. And so I think everyone is wondering, are we going to get a sneak peek under the hood at the process that makes him go? Or are we going to get any insightful things from his perspective? I think, you know, everybody kind of knows Sauce Gardner and he's flashy in the defense and Robert Saleh and kind of the makeup. But I think Aaron Rodgers is the reason that everybody's going to tune in to see if they get a sneak peek at what makes this guy go. Because the little that we've gotten on Pat McAfee, on their Tuesday interview, I think has us all very, very curious just to know more.
Compare training camp for a veteran to a rookie.
You know, that's one way to look at it. I think I'll break it down even further. Training camp for a veteran, you know what to expect. You understand what your role is usually coming into camp because a veteran player is kind of already established. You know, the rookie, especially the rookie first rounder, has some of those same sentiments, but you don't really know because you're trying to figure out what's going to be my role. Everybody's going to be looking at me because you're a new player. So even when you're doing a rep, everybody's going to be paying attention to the rookie or the new guy just to see what they can do because football is a collision sport, man. It's played with pads on. Like all the stuff we've done up until now has been cool to run around in shorts and look good and post Instagram and TikTok videos. But when the pads go on, there's the legitimate feeling that you could get your head knocked off. And that's when the game of football is played. So for a veteran, it's kind of reestablishing who you are. For a rookie, you got to let everyone know where you come from. And then to the point that I was making to go a little further, training camp now is so different than it was when I played. So my first training camp, I held out for 2 days, and the very first day I got there, we were in full pads. It was full pads in the morning, full pads in the afternoon. Well, here's the deal, DP. Now they got this thing they call an acclimation period. I'm not sure what the hell it means because it's going to be hot regardless, but you got to acclimate to the heat and acclimate to football, the same thing we've been playing for 15 years. So it's so much easier now. Like these guys can't go full pads back to back. They can't go full pads the first 5 or 6 days. It's really not training camp. It's more of a kind of get together. Let's hang out for a couple of weeks, and we're going to practice once every other day and try to get this thing figured out. So it's so much different between rookie and veteran, and it's also so much different between now and then.
Was it ever personal with you with a quarterback that you didn't like?
No. Like, it was more personal with me with the guy that I went against across from me. Like, I used to have to line up against guards. And like, when you're a defensive tackle going against an offensive lineman, you're really never going to get a lot of one-on-one blocks. So it's always going to be double teams. And it used to bother me. I'm like, so these dudes are professional. They get paid a lot of money, but they can't individually block me one-on-one every single play. And so, like, that really used to tick me off, just the inherent nature of the position I played and how the offensive lineman would block us would really kind of rub me the wrong way. But quarterbacks doing their job, man. Like, I didn't like any of them, especially the ones that got rid of the ball quick, Brady, Manning, those guys that didn't hold a football. You love going against a guy that was a bum, a guy who held a football because you knew it was going to be a good day for you. But overall, like, quarterbacks are who they are.
But who's the lineman you really personally hated?
Kevin Gogan was one. Larry Allen was another one.
But were they cheap shot artists? Like, what would make you hate that guy that it wasn't just – it became personal?
Well, it was personal because of the position, as I stated. Gogan was a cheap shot guy. Like, I think it's been really documented, some of the cheap shots that he took and some of the dirty play that he had. You know, Todd Stussy was another guy. Guys that just got under your skin. Like, there's this thing in the NFL, talk about playing till the echo of the whistle. Well, some offensive linemen would do that, and they would give you a little nudge, a little cheap shot. Like, listen, big guy. You had 3.5 seconds to block me, and you couldn't do it. And so now after the play, you want to give me a little nudge. Like, and they do it just to get under your skin. So, but yeah, I don't like any of them, man, just because, I mean, these dudes are big. They're usually bad built, and they always need help to do their job.
Talking to Booger McFarland, 2-time Super Bowl champ and analyst for ESPN, NFL and college football. You had Ja'Marr Chase say if Joe Burrow's not 100%, he wouldn't have a problem with him maybe sitting out the first 5 games of the regular season. I know that they don't have great competition in 4 of those 5 games, but you're still playing the Browns and Ravens to start off your season. Your thoughts on trying to protect Joe Burrow for as long as you can?
Well, I completely agree, because with Joe Burrow, they can win the Super Bowl. Without him, they're just a middle-of-the-pack team. And so – fortunately, time, you know, right now they have a gift of time. It's what, August the 8th. They don't play a meaningful game for over a month. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Joe Burrow on the practice field until Wednesday of game week. Ooh. He doesn't need to be out there. Yeah, he might be a little rusty, but I'd rather have Joe Burrow rusty for game one than to come back too early and re-injure that. And now he starts missing a significant part of this season. Even if he's got to miss the first game or two, I'm still fine with that. Like, it's a 17-game season over the course of 18 weeks. I think his sentiment that I don't want to see Joe Burrow back until he is as healthy as possible is one that a lot of people in that organization share.
Dalvin Cook still out, outside looking in. Zeke Elliott on the outside looking in. Is this an anomaly, or do you think this is going to be a growing trend in the offseason in years to come?
Yeah, I think the running back position, as we talked about, has been devalued. I think that you're going to see a lot of the veteran running backs that want a lot of money, they're going to have to kind of wait until some team kind of bites. Like, it's supply and demand. And so if I got a guy that I drafted in the 3rd or 4th round that I feel can do the same job or just as good a job as a guy like Dalvin Cook or Ezekiel Elliott, why am I going to go out and pay, you know, $7-8 million for either one of those guys? And so I think for Dalvin Cook and Zeke Elliott, they're both going to be on opening day rosters. I think they're both going to play a vital role with some team. I think Dalvin Cook has more juice left in the tank, 4 straight seasons, over 1,000 yards. He's only 27 years old. Think about that, DP. Think about if somebody told you at 27 you were no good. Like, at 27, I wasn't even stretching. I just touched my toes and got and went to work. And now at 27, they're saying that these guys – are kind of washed up. So it's a very, very difficult predicament to be in. I do think Dalvin Cook is going to be a starter at some point in this league. He's just got too much juice left in the tank. But I kind of feel for Zeke, though, because if Zeke doesn't go to maybe Dallas, I know New England has kind of brought him in. Like, where does Zeke go and how much money is he going to have to settle for? at some point they're going to have to swallow their pride, Zeke, I think, and say, okay, I'm going to go play for a 1-year deal for, I don't know, $2 or $3 million, which is a far cry from what Jerry paid him in Dallas.
How much do you think you would earn now if you were picking LSU?
A lot of money because.
Well, what's the going rate for a defensive tackle?
Well, I think the going rate for a 5-star defensive tackle is probably, probably $1 million a year at least.
Okay.
I mean, think about that. Think about that, DP. I was a 3-4-star guy coming out of Louisiana, and my first 2 years at LSU, there were several weekends where I had $5 to my name, the training table wasn't open, and I was eating ramen noodles and Chinese food all weekend. Now these guys got $1 million in the bank. They're the toast of the town, and they're getting that in high school, not in college. Like, these guys are being paid in high school once they commit to shut down the recruiting until signing day. And then once you get to the school of your choice, you're getting paid even more money. So I was born just a little bit too early, but I don't envy these guys because more money comes more problems. And when I got to the NFL at 21, I didn't really understand that statement, but I quickly learned that the more money I got, the more headaches came. So I can only imagine what these kids at 17 are dealing with when they got $1 million in the bank, they're 17 years old, and they got to go to school. Oh, by the way, you're still 17 and you're a kid, but now you got to deal with the issues that 21-year-old adults have to deal with. I don't envy that at all.
Who's got a better Louisiana accent, you or Brian Kelly?
Well, I'm a country boy from Louisiana, so my accent is really kind of not really Southern and not really Cajun. So I could really teach BK a little bit about how to get it a little better. Although, here's what I will say. I will give him credit for trying. I will give him credit also for acknowledging that it was terrible. But all jokes aside, he's been exactly what LSU has needed, which is an adult in the room, somebody that can be a CEO type of a major powerhouse program. And we'll see what he does with expectations. 10 wins year one. We'll see what he does in year two with the preseason ranking of number 5.
But he didn't have to give an accent. You don't have to. If I go down to Louisiana, I don't all of a sudden, you know, start talking and we haven't even won all of our games.
Yes, but I mean, he really sounded like a Louisiana guy from 1950. putting on the smoker's jacket, grabbing a cigar, sitting on the front porch. So if he really wanted to do it, he should have picked up a bowl of crawfish etouffee and just kind of start using that French Cajun cuisine.
Great to talk to you, Booger. Hope you're doing well. Hope the golf game is good.
DP, I'm doing great, man. The golf game is excellent. I'm enjoying life, ready for football season to start, man. And this year, here's one promise I can make you.
Okay.
I will make a meat Friday because we've been talking about this for several years. I will make a meat Friday this year.
You let me know what you want. You let me know what you want, and then we'll cook it on the Traeger grill.
I'm looking forward to sausage, beef brisket,
okay,
and maybe just a little bit of fry tip.
Okay. We can do that for you. Just give me advance notice here, like a day or so, and then we'll cook it up.
We'll do, buddy. Always.
All right. Thank you, Booger. Yes, Paul.
Later.
I bet he can get after it too.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
That's a hell of a day right there.
That's a
sausage brisket.
Jeepers. Yeah, let's start laying groundwork. Booger down here. Man cave, let him try what we pull off the Traeger grill. Our training camp meals every day. Brian Kelly. I haven't heard the accent, though. Has he stopped doing that?
I feel like he's dropped it.
Has he?
I feel like it was temporary. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt bad for him in the moment because locally maybe it played, but it was national where people went, wait, what happened with BK? How long has he been in Louisiana? I think he's only been there 48 hours. Wow.
All my life.
Yeah, Marv.
Will that happen to anybody here when we go to Ireland?
Yes. Yes, it will me. Yes, it will. All of a sudden, you get to Dublin, and then all of a sudden it changes.
Are you going
to
pull out your mobile phone?
Yeah.
Text some people? Are you going to ring people up?
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Listen to Comeback Stories. I'm Darren Waller. You may know me best as a tight end for the New York Giants. You may also know me for my story of overcoming addiction and alcoholism. You may have heard a few of my tracks as an artist or a producer. And you may have seen the work that I've done through my foundation. And you may know my friend and co-host, Donnie Starkins, as well. He's a mindfulness teacher, a yoga instructor, a life coach, a man fully invested in seeing people reach their fullest potential. And we've come to form this platform of Comeback Stories to really highlight not only our own adversity, but adversity in the lives of well-known guests with amazing stories. Catch us every week on Comeback Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Premier League is back Saturday on NBC, streaming on Peacock. Head to Northwest England, where the surprise club of last season... Who wants to guess the surprise team of last year in the Premier League? Seton O'Connor. Surprise team?
Newcastle?
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Vamos!
You did it.
Vamos.
You did it. Newcastle looks to continue their great form, taking on Aston Villa, 12:30 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. Poll question for the final hour of this program is going to be what, Seton O'Connor?
Dan, we actually just put up a fun one here. Okay. Based off of, well, shockingly, something Todd has going on right now.
What do you have going on right now, Todd?
Do you feel lucky when a day and month of the calendar year are the same number? Okay. Yes, of course I do. Or yes, of course, like who doesn't? Mm. Or what? No. Right now, what? No has 88% of the vote.
Wow. I'm so upset by that.
You're the only one.
People like numerology. I didn't 88% think that's nothing special about 88.
Todd, 88%?
Don't think. Now I just realized.
There
now
are
it's
more
great.
On your side than you realize.
That's perfect. 88%. Okay.
877-3DP show. Operator Tyler's sitting by, taking your phone calls. And we say good morning to those watching on Peacock. And our radio partners numbering nearly 400 cities that carry this. I used to say the award-nominated program. We weren't nominated this last year. So formally award-nominated program.
A wordy.
Yeah, it is. A little wordy there. He's Ryan Leaf. He's a college football analyst, NFL analyst, and he's doing some a lot of things with Westwood One, Sirius XM, and the former number two overall pick by the Chargers, the 1998 draft. Did you care about numerology? Like when you picked your number when you played in college or the pros, how important was that?
It all started in high school, and I wanted my dad's number. My dad wore number 14, and so coach lays out all the jerseys out on the bleachers, and it's first come, first serve. And this little kid who was not going to play and was not going to, you know, whatever, picks up 14, and I looked at him, and I said, hey, you know, that's my dad's number. Can I? And he flat out, you know, said no. Mm-hmm. And so the only number left was the quarterback number was 16. And so I took it. And that's what I wore the rest of my life.
Did you want to change it at any point?
Once I had it, you know, somebody started using the moniker Sweet 16. And so I rolled with it.
It still sounds like you're bothered by this kid who took 14.
I even remember his name. His name was Bill Clark.
Oh, Bill Clark.
Yeah. Paulie.
Paulie.
Where is Bill Clark right now?
Track down Bill Clark.
We're all over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not sitting in a man cave being interviewed by me. That's for sure. what's going on with Washington State, your alma mater? What's the future there?
It's devastating. This was an inevitability. It really was. We're on the precipice of the National Collegiate Football League. We are. It's going to be two conferences between 18 to 22 teams, most likely, that can afford to be in there. The media rights deal, it's going to be its own separate entity, probably no NCAA. And they're going to make a lot of money doing it. And they're going to be teams that are relegated. And it just started sooner rather than later. I thought we may have a few more years. But the writing was on the wall last year. It was. And the fact that George Kliavkoff and the Board of Governors did not move on that deal much faster and allowed things to play out, allowed the Big 12 to really gain some momentum after what went down last year, it really led to this. You couldn't have been too surprised. Now, talking with President Schultz, who was the head of it from Washington State, he said that he had everybody back to the table Friday morning. And then right before the meeting started, Arizona was like that one holdout. And they got them back to the table. They were going to sign the grant of rights deal to the Pac-12 conference in Oregon and Washington. Came in and said, we're going to take the Big Ten deal. They were just too fearful of the streaming aspect of everything.
All right, so what's the time frame here, realistic time frame, that you think we have the NFL model of college football?
Well, how quickly it's escalated over 2 years ago when Oklahoma and Texas went to the SEC and then USC and UCLA, and then what completely evaporated, I would suspect within the next 5 years.
And it feels like it's going to be Big Ten commission. You could have two commissioners, the Big Ten commissioner and the SEC commissioner, and they could oversee like the AFC and the NFC if you wanted to.
You could, but I ultimately think there'll be one czar.
Okay.
Yeah, whoever that may look like. You know, the Big Ten commissioner right now is new, of course, after Warren took the job with the Bears and what the SEC has accomplished.
But he's a TV guy, the Big Ten commissioner.
He is.
Like, that's what you need. You got to have – TV has changed college athletics, changed college football. I don't know if it's going to be for the good, because I always think about this. I get caught up in it because I'm a member of the media and I have to look at both sides. If you're a fan, is it good for you what is happening now?
Well, I think you're going to get good football. I mean, I just got the Big 12's game of the week, you know, with ESPN on the streaming service that they have, ESPN Plus. So I'm going to get to go down and get some really good Big 12 games. Some Pac-12 teams are going to be involved with it in the next few years, you know, a lot more games. So I think we're going to have some interesting, good football games. So that doesn't bother me. What bothers me, of course, is the history, the legacy, all those things that exist from when I was a kid growing up. You know, the Rose Bowl was going away anyway. It was going to this playoff, and it was not going to be used as the traditional Big Ten Pac-12 game anymore. And that was unfortunate. I just love the venue, and I love the game. I don't necessarily care who's playing in it. But, yeah, as a fan who's consuming it, it's got to be difficult. And I've had a lot of former players reach out to me over the last couple of days just, you know, just in disbelief.
Yeah, I wonder if you're a fan that they don't care that the volleyball team has to go to, you know, Piscataway and play Rutgers, or the baseball team might be put out by going someplace. It's basically, what do you have for me? And if the menu is still great, you know, maybe there's less items on the menu, but the menu is strengthened because there are going to be some good matchups. You get USC and UCLA and the Big Ten, and you get matchups that you didn't have before. I'm just curious what happens with Florida State, Clemson, and Notre Dame. At what point do they say, we're going to stay where we are? Can we stay where we are? Is it time to make that move?
Well, I think Florida State pretty much told the world it's time to make that move. And I tell you what, if they go out this year and play like I think they are, you know, and get back to the championship level caliber team they are with Mike Norvell and Jordan Travis as a quarterback, that's going to speak volumes. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him in the SEC, you know, pretty darn quick here. And then that's the domino that continues to fall. The ACC starts to crumble. You look at the two sides of things, and then the NCAA becomes, you know, essentially what they are, just a giant party planning group every March, and we move away from all of that.
I've heard some former quarterbacks talk about, even Mike Tannenbaum, the former Jets GM, saying he would not start a rookie quarterback, not under any circumstances, week one. Mm-hmm. Where we are with quarterbacks coming out of college, and, you know, it's already a professional, you know, system that they're running. I know Mahomes didn't. You know, when he came out, and Carson Palmer, you know, we've had a lot of guys who didn't start, Steve McNair. But where are we right now with the state of quarterbacking? C.J. Stroud, should he be starting week one? Bryce Young, should he be starting week one?
I mean, it clearly looks like they've adjusted to what they're being asked to do. But we all felt that way. I mean, going into my first game, everybody was really confident with what I had been doing in practice, you know, and how we were moving along. And in fact, we went out and won our first two starts. I didn't play, you know, particularly well.
Did you know what you were doing?
Yeah. I mean, I knew what I was doing, but the things that I was thinking too much. And when you step out on a football field, when you're going through the offense, you don't want to be thinking about anything other than what you may see with them doing defensively. That's all you want to think about. You don't want to think about, what did I call on the snap count? What protection did I put here? What happens if this safety comes down? Do I move the back over here to protect me on this side? That's just got to be second nature. And that's what happens when you've been in the system that long. You look at players like, I mean, Peyton Manning played his entire career in the same offense. Tom Moore, that offense, it's never changed. Even with Adam Gase that came along, that was Peyton, what he was doing. And making changes on his own. So when you have that ability, that's a big part of it. So
would you start C.J. Stroud for a bad team?
I don't think Houston's that bad of a team, though. So I think their offensive line may be one of the best in the league. And if you have a good offensive line, a rookie quarterback he's going to hold the ball longer than most guys do. You just look at the trajectory of where Tom Brady was in year 1, 2, 3, and what he looked like in year, you know, 15, where the ball was out like that. So you have to. That's a learning progression. You used to be able to hold the ball back there, pat a little bit in college, you know, take your time. Pros, you got to get rid of it. And he's a really good offensive line. So I don't have a problem with that. The only problem I always have is how involved the teams are on when it goes bad, when failure does happen. Because no one, as we've talked about this before, can quantify that variable. You just don't know. It hasn't happened.
Not many of these guys have faced failure.
No.
Like, you're playing at Ohio State or Alabama. Okay, may have lost one game or two games in a season.
And then he goes back to, you go look at Bryce Young, go back to modern day where you just dominate in Southern Cal all the time. So,
and that's always what I want to see from a young quarterback. When you throw the interception, when you get sacked, now what do you do? Not when you throw a touchdown, because the true adversity of the position is, and everybody faces it, what happens when, you know, you get knocked on your rear end?
Yeah, and you just, you don't know what that's going to be like, especially when you have to step up to the mic after the game. That's even a bigger thing, right? To take ownership of something that you may not feel was your fault, but since you're the quarterback and you're the leader, it is. And also, when you're embarrassed and humiliated. Because, like you said, these guys haven't been embarrassed and humiliated playing in a game in front of everybody. Like, you're used to being so good at what you do. What happens when you step out there and have a game like I did against Kansas City, my third game, and it's just embarrassing, and you're so humiliated that you regress to this defensive position and just, you know, back yourself into a corner, start fighting. And it, of course, it completely backfired on me, and it's just always dependent on these players, and then how is the team going to back you and support you in that process?
Well, when do you start thinking about the post-game press conference while you're in the game and you have a bad game?
You don't even think about it in the locker. All of a sudden, it's just like this thing that slaps you in the face, and you're standing in front of a microphone, and you have these people just going, "You sucked. What? How did this happen?" You know? And then you look at the guy, and you think, you know, he's about, you know, 280 pounds and 5'4" and never played a game of football. And you're just like going, I am so much superior than you. Stop asking me stupid questions, little man. And that doesn't work out well
for
anybody.
No, it doesn't. No. It does not. I know it didn't work out for somebody I know.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase said that he would have no problem with Joe Burrow sitting out for maybe the first five games of the regular season. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that tells me a little bit more maybe about the injury. You know,
yes.
But he's so darn good. It just depends. This AFC is so loaded, and we've talked about it ever since I was here doing the show when we talked about Lamar Jackson. It was such a up in the air thing on where he was going to be, if he was going to be back to Baltimore. There are probably 10 or 11 teams that I would consider playoff caliber teams. There's going to be four that don't get in. And you're talking about quarterbacks like Lamar, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, possibly Tua Tagovailoa, all these guys. So if you put yourself in a five-game hole, you know, in a division like the AFC North, which is going to be brutally competitive, you want to be the one seed. You don't want to go to Kansas City again. They've had to do it for the last 5 years. Everybody has. You want to be the one seed. You don't want to be the five seed.
Yeah.
And so that's a big part of it. You know, you have to have 13, maybe possibly 14 wins, I think, in the AFC to have the number one overall seed this year.
Well, I keep bringing this up because everybody, you know, we kind of filter how we want to filter. It's like, hey, I'm going to believe that story. It goes back to OBJ when the Cowboys wanted him. And I asked the question on the show. I said, can he even play? Is he healthy enough to play? And it, you know, that was what was true. Nobody wanted to focus on that.
Yeah.
He's not even going to play. Hey, we need talking points. We can mention the Cowboys here. So you start to think about the AFC East. I think one team gets to the playoffs out of the AFC East.
Do you?
Yes, because the AFC East is tough. You play the NFC East and the AFC West. Well, how many wins are you going to need to win that division? And is that going to be good enough to make the wild, you know, have a wild card team there? It's going to be tough sledding here. Buffalo, we know, is good. Miami is good.
The Jets should be good.
Should be good.
Yes.
So, and New England will be competitive. You know, they may be average, but still, that's a pretty tough division top to bottom. Nobody's factoring that in. They're like, man, the Jets going to the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, would you argue that's mostly Jets fans?
No. It's the national media.
Is it really?
Oh, my God.
I have not been. I think I'm just so in my own head when
you
it comes
can't
to it.
Watch any of these shows without knowing it's going to be about Dak.
Well, you got Greeny
and
you got Eisen, and they're freaking Jets fans. And so they, you know, I start talking about the reality, like you said, of what's real here, and Jets fans lose their collective minds. I mean, I swear, it's like I've come to the
they
point.
They could be a year early.
Yes.
Which is strange to sound with Rodgers at his age, but I think that's why he's saying, I'm going to play here for a few years. I think he realizes if we do catch lightning in a bottle, it could be amazing. But give me a full year with this lineup, and, you know, then I think that we might be really formidable.
Do you imagine us not being in the same position next offseason with him deciding will he or won't he if they don't go to the playoffs and if they don't beat
I can't even think about it.
Yet. I do.
I can't.
I think that's what it is.
I can't. Wait, what do you think happens?
I think we just see the same thing we've had happen the
last
year. If
they don't make the playoffs, is Aaron Rodgers doing the, I don't know.
I got to go into the darkness and make a decision. I do. I mean, I think that's just kind of how he works. And I don't fault it necessarily.
Have you been in, have you gone into the dark place? Like, well, you've been in a dark place.
A very dark place.
It was called jail.
I spent 3 years in that dark place. You know, I do a lot of meditating now, you know, and I try to.
Would you have done what Rodgers did?
I couldn't do it for that long. You know, I'll spend, you know, 30 minutes in a room right now where everything's shut off. I just close my eyes and I meditate. I couldn't do what he did.
I do that. It's called a nap.
I mean, but my mind starts dreaming about and fantasizing about stupid stuff when I'm sleeping. It's not the productive type of stuff.
Wait, what are you fantasizing about?
Golf simulators. Big time. We're remodeling right now. We're putting one in.
Nice.
Yep.
How much weight have you lost?
Since 2020, like 85 pounds since 2020.
Wow.
So we've been working at this for a while. I'm going to be an old dad. My kid's going to be, I'm going to be in my mid 60s when they graduate from high school. And so I just, you know, the NFL does a really good thing with the NFLPA, and they send us down to New Orleans to Tulane University, the medical school there. And we go through a huge brain and body scan. I just did it last week.
Yeah.
And you know, they take it's probably six figures worth of medical testing you get for free. It's amazing. And it's, you know, I'm very critical of the NFL and the NFLPA all the time, but I think it's really important that I talk about the good stuff they're doing for us former players in that aspect of things, because they use this one ultrasound on your heart where they can actually see inside the ventricles and see how really the plaque is. Otherwise, you don't know that unless you have it cracked open. And they're able to see that because that's the thing that kills a lot of us. We don't know what's going on there. So I got a lot of good feedback. They had the numbers from 2016 when I went last time.
And nothing concussion-wise. They can't register.
They can't really register, but the tumor that I had taken out, which was trauma-related, was almost, you know, the residual tumor was almost zero, which is amazing. You know, it's food, it's exercise, it's meditation, it's prayer, it's nature, and it's just, I think, you know, just kind of doing the same things I've done over the last 10 years.
Well, you look great. My best to your wife, and I know you're heading up to see your folks. So you're number one analyst for the Big 12 Game of the Week on ESPN+. Westwood One, you're podcasting as well, The Straight Line with Ryan Leaf. You're a busy guy there. Thanks for taking some time to join us over here. It's always good to see you, man.
Always good to see you guys. I appreciate you.
That's
right. I heard you're retiring, though, in 2027.
4.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just down the road. If you want to keep doing the show and getting money, I'll do it for like $10 a show if you want.
Okay.
All right. Easy commute.
I'm not surprised you threw your name in the hopper.
Yeah. Yeah. 2028?
Yeah. Yeah, but there's always Nick Wright, who he's younger.
Is he younger?
Yeah.
He looks older.
He's a lot younger than you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yep.
All right.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.